The Tantrum House Board Game Podcast is recorded live from Studio WKRB in Greenville, South Carolina. This podcast is brought to you by our friendly local game store, Boardwalk, purveyors of fine games, Bezier Games, the new classics, Final Frontier Games, bringing friends and family closer together, The Game Steward, your second chance at Kickstarter games, and Game Toppers LLC, upgrading your gaming experience. Your hosts are Prognosticator Supreme, peering into the swirling mist of future Kickstarters and glimpsing the diamonds in the rough. So buckle up. Seriously, especially if you're driving right now, because you're about to arrive at the Tantrum House.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. Today we got Will Meadows.
Sarah Meadows.
Kevin Delp.
Melissa Delp.
And Ryan Pills.
In the house! Welcome back, Ryan.
Yeah.
It's been a little while.
It has been.
How many weeks? I've missed coming.
Oh, we missed you too.
Yeah, man. It's been 4 weeks, I believe.
A month?
It feels like five.
Yeah. It's been very profitable.
Yeah, tell us without any details how your birthing classes have gone.
Well, a lot of times my face was like this.
Okay, okay.
But inside I was like,
Halloween face. I see that.
And for our listeners, just imagine what those two faces might have been.
A lot of difference there.
So we got talked into this by Katie's sisters, and it was definitely profitable. But they only went to one day, 4 hours.
We went to four days, three hours each.
So I feel a little bit like I was tricked into something. But it was a lot of useful information, and we feel more prepared.
It is.
Also realizing we're not prepared.
Yes. But
that's good. That's step one.
That is the best.
We went to these classes, and we were like, oh, yeah, we got this. And then we get to the hospital, and they're like, emergency C-section. And I was like, none of this was covered in the class. What is going on?
None of it. I like wanted my money back for that class.
It came in handy for later, kids.
It did.
Our last class was just this past Monday, and the couple who usually sat next to us, they had their due date supposedly a day before ours, and they got called right as class started that something on their charts was off, and they needed to go in and be induced.
Oh.
We were like, no, you guys haven't gotten the last class.
You need
like,
this one.
You can't be this close, because we're this close.
So then you're crossing your fingers the whole lesson, like, don't go into it.
Yeah.
Always exciting times. Well, we're praying for you guys. It's awesome. What's the due date? I know I ask that every single time.
November 15th.
We're getting close.
Whoa, that's like... Two weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah, two and a half.
From now. When this goes live, it'll be like...
There's a contest. We haven't revealed the name. If you can guess... whoever guesses closest, arbitrarily decided by me, gets $20.
$20?
Yeah.
Is this like to our listeners as well?
It's a girl.
Sure.
$20 if you guess Ryan's baby's name.
If you submit it in writing to me...
Okay.
I mean, digitally is fine.
Facebook posting.
Yeah, $20... Via PayPal,
and even Facebook people?
Yeah, sure.
All right. If you can guess the name of Ryan's first baby girl.
Yeah.
Are you just going to change the name so that nobody's right at the end? Like, oh, these are all guessed. None of those are right.
If they guess right on, maybe. I don't think anybody's going
to
guess.
Well, I guess we'll have to name her Elvira now.
Everything else was taken. Just write all the girls' names on
there. Yeah, if you can guess it.
Do we get any hints at all?
Sure.
I heard that a hint was given to my kids.
Yeah, I was telling them all the clues tonight.
Why, is it like the number of letters in the name hint?
No.
Oh,
no, but I heard it's like Russian origin or something. Oh, I gave too much of a clue!
It's not, I don't think it's a Russian origin.
Oh, is that what you told them?
But we came across the general idea while reading through lists of names, one of which was Russian.
Okay.
It's a name that I think sounds good with pills.
Okay, that narrows it down a lot, actually.
It's a girl's name.
And is it a name we've heard of, or did you invent this name?
I don't think you've met anybody named this.
Okay.
Cool.
I like that. I like that goal in general. Like, that was our Xander.
But it's not so unusual that you'd be like, what? Somebody named Kumquat?
Kumquat Pills kind of sounds good.
And
somebody write that down.
This is like really weird.
Kid's name.
But I started dabbling in the Old Republic
Black
MMO, and I found that a character I had made for this MMO.
Oh, okay, you made it
like 5 years before. Same name, different spelling.
Ryan, thanks for bringing it back to gaming.
That's right. Good,
that's
full
right.
Circle.
Segue.
Excellent segue. And that brings us to the fact that we just got back from our monthly game night at the Red Barn. I said the right location this time.
You did.
Good job, Lou.
Had a great turnout.
Yes.
Bunch of new people. Bunch of people who were like hardcore gamers.
That's good.
Like, I met one couple tonight, and I don't remember the names because I'm a terrible person. And they sat down, and I was like, you know, where are you guys from? They are. I hope they are. And he was like, oh, I just moved into town literally like 2 days ago, and I haven't even finished unpacking. I found you guys were having a game night, so I came. Like, that is fantastic.
You guys played a lot of games.
We did. Covered a lot of the ground.
I played Nouvelle France, which is a prototype of a game coming to Kickstarter.
It's really pretty.
From Jack Bro in March. So we got an early copy. And we'll be passing that around. Probably, I think, Derek Funkhauser might be getting it next.
Derek Funkhauser is next on the list.
Yes. So we played that one. Fantastic game. As soon as we got the box in the mail, I opened it up, loved the cover.
She did gasp as soon as she opened the box.
It looks amazing. Opened the box and like second even bigger gasp. I already love this game and I haven't even pulled any components out. It's like it has little wooden cubes that are
Imhotep size cubes.
Yes, that are glued together Tetris, three-dimensional Tetris style.
It's amazing.
Yes. Absolutely love it. It is very thinky, great, I guess, tile placement, three-dimensional tile placement? I don't know how to...
Cube placement?
Yeah.
Kevin and I played it at Gen Con, sitting on the floor in a hallway, and we enjoyed it.
So, pretty cool ideas, like just fun concepts.
And you jumped in on a game of castles?
Yes. I did poorly, but, you know.
I jumped in
after somebody else had started, and they had to leave, so, you know.
Did Katie win that game?
Katie moderated, and she always does a fantastic job moderating game.
It's one of the few games she has on her phone, so she just, like, finally defeated the last challenge or something, so she was very excited.
So what were you playing, Ryan?
We played Whales Destroying the World.
Yeah, I think that's right.
We'll talk about that later in the episode, yeah.
Yeah. I moderated raids for some folks
because whenever
they don't know what to play, I'm like, I enjoy playing this, so I'm going to force it on you.
That's the best part of game night, really. Like, I haven't played this in a while. You guys want to play this, I can tell.
What was the Railroad game? Railroad Inc.?
From CMON. Very cool. Rolling right.
Yeah, there was a few rules I didn't get quite at first, but I think I won the second time. I tied.
Made your comeback.
What version did you guys play? The blue version or the red version?
Yeah, Deep Blue.
We didn't play with the rivers and ponds or whatever lakes, but we did play the base game, and it was cool. Everybody enjoyed that one. Cool. It's a nice, approachable roll and write, I think. Easier to jump into than some of the other ones.
Yeah, Kevin and I, we only got to play one game because we were late, because we were making balloon animals for children for a Halloween event.
Yes, at our local country club.
You said it's sad. Making balloon animals for children should be way more exciting.
Well, that was fun, but missing game night was, was the sad part.
But we jumped in one of the last games. We played Spring Rally from Mandu Games.
Yeah.
I like the trick-taking game. And it's kind of cool mechanic with the race.
It is. It's one of those games. I've played it enough times now that, like, there's not any, like, winning to the game. It's just playing a game that's actually really enjoyable. Mm-hmm. And then on the last turn of the game, someone wins.
Yeah. The catch-up mechanic is so hard to wrap your mind around. You're like, do I actually want to win? Or do I want to just let the catch-up mechanic shoot me into the...
Here's the thing. I started winding my gear up way too much, and I was trying to win a trick finally, but I couldn't win. It was too late, so my gear overwound itself, and I started going into like the lower numbers again.
Interesting.
It's a fun one though. The colors are really great. The components are super fun. Yeah. Like everybody's willing to just like, oh, what is it? I'll play.
Yeah.
Because
it's quick too, so it's not like you're stuck at it for a long time.
Yep. Very fun. I got to meet a guy named Kevin, who's a local board game enthusiast, and he's working on a game. It's pretty interesting concept. He's worked on it for a long time. It has no art, so it's still totally like abstract, basically.
Okay.
It's a giant chess-ish board.
Yeah, was there like a chess clock involved?
I didn't see the clock.
Mm. He had some sort of app out, which looked kind of like a chess
clock. Oh, I did see that, actually. He didn't talk about that at all. But it's a card battle game, and it reminded me of War Chest a little bit from AEG.
Yeah.
But not tokens, it was just cards. And the cards have, like, each side of the card has a different ability. So the way you play the card facing your opponent determines how you attack them. And then you've got some chess-like strategy in this piece can move over here and this piece can move over there. It was a pretty cool concept. I hope he can get the art that he needs and the traction. He was coming tonight to just get feedback. And I think it's got potential. So
cool
for him. All right, so the rest of the show.
Yes.
I'm going to work on something else.
What?
I was inspired. I'll give a shout out to Jay Peek. I can't remember what the name of his podcast is, but anybody want to chime in on that? We can Google that. Board game guy. He has promoted our t-shirts for us in the past, which is fun.
Cool.
He posted some pretty cool graphics this week that he had done for his podcast, and they were motion graphics. And I was like, oh, I feel so lazy that I haven't already made something like this. So I'm going to work on some motion graphics for our podcast post.
Okay.
While you guys keep talking about stuff.
Well, we should go while you do that and move into a word from our sponsor.
This episode is sponsored by Pressman. And we have a game that we're giving away of theirs. It is MacGyver, the escape room game. And you can hear about that giveaway later in the episode.
Yep. So Pressman's put out some pretty classic games. You might be familiar with Sequence and Mastermind. And I don't know, we've got some other ones here. Rummy Cube.
Oh, Rummy Cube's one of my favorites.
I like Rummy Cube. So yeah, if you're watching on Facebook or if you're listening on the podcast, tell us what are some of the classic games that you enjoy. Do you like Sequence or Rummy Cube or things like that? But they came out with a new game called the Oregon Trail, the board game.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That Will and Sarah actually played.
Yes.
Reviewed, but he's not, Will's not listening. Just Sarah can talk about it.
I only have listening.
Okay.
Is that the one designed by Daryl
Andrews? Yep. Yes. And it is based very directly on the computer game from the 70s, 80s, and...
The good years.
Yes, the good years of 8-bit computer games. So we've enjoyed playing that one a lot.
Cool. Yeah. I'm glad that they made a game that was better than the card game.
Yes.
So, but yeah, so listen for more information about the giveaway from Pressman. We thank them for sending us this game. That one lucky person will get a copy of this game right here, still sealed. Maybe I should unseal it and look inside.
No.
Okay.
I don't know.
I don't know. If you're going to make an escape room game, MacGyver is the best theme to stick on it.
That's pretty cool. Right?
I mean, honestly, of any theme.
Hopefully there are paper clips.
Well, right?
Yes.
I don't know what I said.
I could see like a Saw themed one, but that's not family.
Well, there literally, there literally is a paper clip right there.
Right? There has to be. He has to like defuse a bomb with a paper clip in the game.
Yeah.
If that doesn't happen, I would be disappointed.
Yeah.
Just saying. No pressure, Pressman.
And now let's go into our Kickstarter conniption.
Kickstarter conniption!
This episode we'll be talking about 13 games coming to Kickstarter the week of November 5th, 2018. We've got a couple Press Your Luck games, some Roll and Write, some second editions, so listen ahead for what we've got coming. There's a lot. Kevin, start us off.
Yes, so the first game I want to talk about is coming from Capstone Games called Pipeline. This game is designed by Ryan Courtney, and the art is from Ian O'Toole. It is a 2-4 player game. It takes about 2 hours to play, so it's not a light game. And it has route building and tile placement. And as the name says, it is called Pipeline. You actually are building pipes and connecting them together on the board. I actually played a prototype of this, I want to say 2 to 3 years ago at Origins, and it was a pretty heavy, not, I shouldn't say heavy, heavy game, but I would say medium heavy game. And
who's the designer on it?
Ryan Courtney. He has helped with Foxtrot, some of their games before.
Oh, okay.
And
so pipes, are these like water pipes, oil pipes, or just
what kind of pipes?
That's a good question. I don't know what pipes.
Interesting.
Yep. Sewer pipes?
Hopefully not sewer pipes.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going crazy.
Keep working on your stuff.
Okay, fine. Yes.
They are air pipes.
Air pipes? Okay.
No. We're going to go water pipes.
Okay, sounds good.
So, all right, Melissa, what do you got?
On November 8th, Rallyman GT from Holy Grail Games is coming. This is a re-implementation of Rallyman that was published in 2009. And it does have some differences from the original game, though. Mm-hmm. This one, you are rolling dice and pressing your luck. It is a racing game. And you are trying to basically win the race, so cross the finish line first. It plays 1 to 6 players, about 45 to 60 minutes, depending on how many laps you want to do. And it had a really interesting mechanic. Kevin and I played this, and we have a video. Well, Kevin has a video preview.
It'll be out soon.
This one.
Yep.
And on your turn, you decide how many dice you want to roll, and each die lets you move one space. But the dice are gears, so you have to, if you're in first gear, you would need to go to second gear, then third gear, then fourth gear.
Right.
And some of the sides of the dice have caution symbols, and if you roll too many of those, you actually spin out and lose your turn. So you're trying to figure out, it's basically a puzzle, because certain turns you can only be at certain speeds. So if I've gone all the way up to fifth gear, but
like,
the next
like the space, actual turn, not your turn turn.
Right.
The actual turn in the racetrack turns.
Yes. Lots of words that mean the same thing. So if I'm in fifth gear, but the next space I can't be over like speed 3, I have to roll some other dice to brake really hard, and that is could be risky. So you're planning out, how can I set up this turn and next turn to get around the racetrack? So it wasn't just dice rolling, see what happens. There was a lot of thinking about which dice to use and when to really press your luck and when to be conservative.
Yeah, I was, when initially said roll and move game, like, ooh. Like, and they have D6s, but on the one D6, it's only one number. So it's either you're going to succeed on that, or you're going to start rolling too many warning icons. So, yeah, I like it. And I think Melissa did a really good job when she played it.
Yes,
She came from behind.
Managed to win, because if you're in a higher gear, you get to go
first,
earlier in turn order.
Which is,
Kevin was like 3 spaces from the end.
I literally thought I had it in the bag.
But nice. I was in a higher gear, so I basically got to take 2 turns in a row.
Nice.
And sped past him.
Yep.
That's the way to do it.
It was pretty cool.
So that is Rallyman GT, coming November 8th. Ryan.
Coming November 6th is Terminus Breach, the tower defense board game. I really enjoy tower defense games as flash mini games. I don't know if you guys have ever really gotten into
that. I have. I'm a fan. So I saw this one coming, and it's pretty cool.
This is like my favorite type of flash game, so I'm interested to see how they'll adapt that concept to a board game. From what I've seen, there is a large rectangular map with different squares on it, and those squares will be filled in with the different obstacles so that the map is modular, and all the monsters are coming in from one end, and you're placing your cards for the different types of towers on the map to, you know, destroy the monsters as they come, and eventually there will be a boss monster. It's for 1 to 4 players, and that's about all I know about it. But it looks cool.
It does look
cool. And I'm excited to see what happens. Will, do you have something, or are you just
going to... I do. I'm going to refocus my... I haven't gotten very far on the animation, I'm just going to say. But I do want to talk about...
It's not ready to show.
We're wanting to see it.
That's the goal. I'm going to try to have it done by the end of the episode. Whales Destroying the World, Ryan mentioned that we played it earlier tonight, is coming November 8th. It's a 3 to 6 player card game for 3 to 6 players. Wow. It's from Time Slug Studio, and it's got an interesting, for being like a draw-and-play type of game, it's pretty cool. You've got actually secret roles, so one person, most of the players are going to be whales who are trying to destroy the Earth.
They have great heart.
It's fun stuff, and it's, I think they're like, they're still holding a grudge from Moby Dick, is what, I actually saw that in the video.
That's awesome.
So they're coming back to destroy the Earth. There's one dude, or maybe two, depending on your player count, who's dressed up in a whale suit, trying to throw them off. He's actually the bad guy in the game.
He has the best art.
Right.
Like this really cheap looking suit.
Like a sports mascot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so everybody on your turn, you have like a tableau, I guess, in front of you. You've got, there's 3 different colors of suits in the deck, and you will draw 2 cards off the deck, discard 1, and then the other card you have to offer to another player in the game. And if they accept it, it gets added to their tableau. If they reject it, it gets added to your tableau. You're trying to collect 2 of each of the 3 colors, And as soon as somebody does that, the game ends, and then you score based on the numbers that are on your cards. If you are able to get three of the whale-costumed human guy in front of you, then that guy wins the game, the whale trader guy. And it's a pretty quick, lightweight game. It's just got a kind of funny, goofy theme. The card art is pretty hilarious. There was, like, a whale driving a motorcycle.
Yeah, he's, like, face up.
Because that's how whales can drive. They can't be, like, turning their neck.
It's really good.
Pretty funny. So check that one out. Coming to Kickstarter on November 8th. And, yeah, we'll be, Sarah and I, or maybe the boys, I don't know, we'll do a review of it.
Oh, cool.
So that'll be coming soon. Sarah, what are you looking at?
Coming November 6th to Kickstarter is Extraordinary Adventures Pirates, and this is from Forbidden Games. It's from designers Don Beyer and Glenn Drover. And this is a 2-5 player. It has deck building and set collection and some roll and move. Select and move, I guess. You will be using your deck of cards as each card has an action and it has a number on it. And so you'll either play the number and move one of your ships. And this is based in the Caribbean. And there's like three different trade routes that you can move. You have three different ships, one on each route. And you will be trying to get all the way through from three different ports on the far west side down to Trinidad. And on your turn, you will play three cards from your hand, either using the action portion or using the movement portion. And you'll be picking up plundering ships, cargo along the way, and trying to pick up extra, trading those in at the ports to get extra points. This is an excellent one to teach somebody deck building. It has two extra bonus decks that come with it that have some additional more difficult actions. And so if you're teaching kids or introducing that deck building mechanic, this one's has a very simplified, easy version that you can make more difficult for heavier gamers. I love the artwork in this one, and the gameplay is good. So check that one out from Forbidden Games, Extraordinary Adventures Pirates. Kevin.
So, also on November 6th, Elf Creek Games is launching Atlantis Rising, which is actually a second edition. What this second edition is bringing all new art and illustrations and graphic design, because I'm super excited about this one. Atlantis Rising, artist is...
Dun, dun, dun.
Does your name start with Beth?
No.
Oh.
Vincent Dutre.
The other one.
It was a 50-50.
Right.
Vincent is my favorite artist for board games, and he, has done an amazing job. So in the game, real quick gameplay, it's a co-op game, so I'm sure Katie might like this one. It's not only a co-op game, it's a co-op worker placement game, Ryan. Co-op worker placement. So if Katie's watching.
Nice.
Co-op worker placement?
Yeah.
Okay, listen. 1-6 players. Okay?
Yeah.
So that's pretty good.
Yeah.
What you're doing is the actual water is coming onto the island, and what the Atlanteans are trying to do is get resources and build a gate to actually portal out.
Interesting.
So I think that's what everyone's working together.
Like Stargate.
Yeah, it actually looks like a Stargate on the photo here, the illustration. And that's from Elf Creek Games, Atlantis Rising 2nd Edition, coming November 6th. Yeah, so I'm really looking forward to that. Melissa, what you got?
On November 8th, Arcane Alley is coming from Strange Space Games. And we have a playthrough video and a preview video of this, so you can see it on our channel. Arcane Alley is a 2-6 player set collection press your luck game. Basically, you are wizards that are trying to sell your stuff on the black magic market. And in the game, you are dealt 9 cards face down into a grid. You do not know what these cards are, but you're trying to make sets of 3 of the same item. So you are replacing cards in your grid and flipping cards in your grid depending on the card actions that you have in your hand. Some of the cards can affect other players, like stealing cards from their grid, the storehouse. And then once you get a set, you can sell it for a certain amount of money that is listed on the card. When the end of the round triggers, any cards that are left in your storehouse most likely are going to give you infamy, which you don't want, because if you get too much infamy, you fail the inspection, and then you have to pay gold for the fine. And you want to have the most gold. The player with the most gold wins. So Kevin, and I think Will...
Intern Dan, he's watching. Oh, he played it, Dan played it
too. Dude, thumbs up for Dan. Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty cool. I liked the artwork a lot. Like, it's really fun and creepy stuff on all the illustrations, and they all sound cool.
I can't even say it.
Skelenomicon.
Skelenomicon, thank you.
Yeah, it was some, like, hypnotic toad.
Yeah.
Yeah, fun combinations, good art scheme to the whole thing. I liked the look of it on the table. And then I had fun playing it, too. I think I lost really bad, but that's all I remember.
Yeah, it's a pretty light game. There's definitely luck involved, but you still have choices to make with the cards that you have and choosing which cards to keep and discard, because you can either draw a card from the draw deck or from the discard pile. So if Kevin discards something that I need, then I can take it and use it. So...
if he's before you, otherwise you just watch it disappear into the discard pile disheartedly.
No, there's only 5 of them in the deck.
Right, I need one more.
So yeah, I actually really enjoyed Arcane Alley. I thought it was a fun game for about the 45-minute time frame that it plays in. So that is Arcane Alley from Strange Space Games, coming November 8th. Ryan.
Coming November 7th from Mega Corpin Games is Awkward Guests, which is totally up my alley.
Because that's what I am. Like Ryan's game?
Yeah, I know. I was like, someone's writing my novel or biography. Yeah.
That's a board game.
So this game, it's an investigation game. You're trying to find out who killed somebody. Mm. And it's apparently really popular right now. A lot of people are trying to follow it, you know, trying to find out more about it, because it's already been published, I believe, in some other languages.
Mm-hmm. Mm, okay.
It uses what they call the Brilliant Deck System. So you're using the same cards, but they come out in a predefined way. I don't really understand this.
I'm just laughing at that. I feel like you also designed the name. Like, let's just call it Studio Awesome. Yeah. Okay, let's call this the Brilliant Deck System.
So each predefined game deck has one unique solution to its unique mystery, and that means that you can have what they say is near infinite replayability. But they then say that there's 3,600 combinations. That's not
even
infinite.
Near.
I read that and I was like pushing up my imaginary glasses. Actually, anyway. So everyone can be an investigator. There doesn't need to be any sort of moderator. And I think that's all I had to say about that. It looks interesting. The card art is a little quirky. It's pretty fun. And it apparently, like, each card kind of melds together to weave this mystery and lead you to the solution. So I'm definitely interested in seeing how that all turns out.
sounds cool, yeah.
Will, did you have another one?
I do. I'm looking at The Eternal Battle from Poison Studios, from designer Nick Nunn and Dmitry Yavonsky. Yankovsky?
Intern Dan can correct
you. Can correct me on that one. We Dan and I actually did play this a couple times. I think Ryan played it.
Yeah, I got to play it.
Yeah, we put together a review as well. It's a strategic movement game where you've got
It's a tactical movement.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah, which is totally my thing.
That's right.
Yeah.
Ryan, how much did you love this game?
I loved it a lot.
Okay, good.
There was a few quirky things where we didn't quite know the rules yet, but it's a good tactical adaptation of, like, the whole fantasy genre.
Yeah, it's got all the basic stuff. You've got your mage and your archer and everybody else, and you've got pretty straightforward action set. I liked, like, if Dan taught me how to play it, didn't take any time, we jumped into it. It's got some pretty cool minis. Like, usually you can count on the main characters to be cool in a game. This one actually had some, like, really cool, like, terrain pieces, like tipped over wagons with stuff falling out and cool rocks and trees. I liked just the board, the table presence to it a lot. You had, I think, like, 2 different campaign books that came with it, I believe. One was more like just kill everything that's on the board type of approach, and then the other one was like fulfilling missions and accomplishing stuff and uncovering treasures.
Yeah. And there's rules if you want to just play the missions as a standalone instead of tying it through a campaign.
A full campaign, yeah. And you can jump in real easy. Lots of variety to their setup mission, like the explanations for how different variety options to choose from when you're setting up the game. Pretty cool. It looked like a really solid game. They had all their stuff together. The minis look good. The instruction manual. I just said their name. So I think they're not English speakers natively, but their instruction manuals, while it's heavy story based, and their English wasn't perfect, like everything you needed was there. So everything, all the rules made sense for the most part. I don't think we ran into anything.
Yeah.
Stories were good. Cool stuff. It was a solid looking, full big game, 180 yeah. minute.
It's definitely more streamlined than a lot of other fantasy yes. tactic games, so I wouldn't let that like overwhelm you. It's definitely an approachable game.
Definitely agree with that. Sarah, what do you got next?
Coming November 6th is Taco Ninja Adventure.
Sounds exciting.
Yes.
Sounds like this, a I like tacos,
right? And I like ninja.
Favorite things?
I know.
Adventures?
That's exactly what our kids
say,
too.
It's a trifecta.
It is. This is a card battle game for 2 to 6 players from designer Rusty Sayosha from Turn Sideways Games. And in the game, you play on 2 teams. If you are playing a 2-player game, you each control 2 different taco ninjas. And you will be battling it out kind of Yahtzee style. But instead of just the Yahtzee style mechanic of the battle, you can go to the dojo to train on your turn instead of fighting. And while there, you can learn additional secret moves. And then the following turn, after you return back to the battlefield, when you roll, those turns will count in addition to the roll that you have. So
the attacks will
yes.
count in addition, yeah.
So if you do a attack of 3 matching dice, then and you have learned a move that goes with that, you can use both of those to attack the player. So it's got some...
Kind of stack up your stats
and
become a lethal ninja warrior.
That's right.
It's very casual, very light. The artwork is very cheesy.
Cheesy. Are these like ninjas eating tacos or tacos dressed as ninjas?
They are taco
actual
heads.
Tacos as ninjas.
What?
I can't remember what's that character's name because it's all like
there's
very tongue in cheek.
Yeah,
the beefy
like
taco.
Al fresco.
Right. The really. The I don't remember what the
there's
Y
the
taco
Zen
is.
Taco.
The Zen taco, yeah.
This is like a fever dream of amazing.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's pretty fun.
It's got very fun artwork. It's got some fun illustrations. And, there's some tongue-in-cheek on some of the different moves that the ninjas can learn in the dojo. So.
Yeah. The instructions say that it takes, or the Board Game Geek page says it takes 20 to 30 minutes to play. I think you could probably play it in like 11 minutes. It's super fast. Like, real quick, get on the table,
yeah,
attack each other.
If
it's
you're
a good,
able
quick
to.
Quick filler, light, fun, hilarious type of thing. I don't know what the final packaging will look like. We got it in like a drawstring bag or whatever.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool because it was like.
Be in a taco.
Right. Maybe way better.
Like happy salmon instead of the
yes.
fish.
Oh, yeah.
Like
a taco.
I was thinking perfect. Like the when you buy like the old, whatever they're called, brand tacos at the mall where you have like the glass, the plastic front and you can see the taco shells inside. Mm-hmm. That's what I wanted.
There you go.
Cool.
Awesome. So this is Taco Ninja Adventure coming to Kickstarter November 6th. Kevin, what else are you talking about?
Monolith is bringing a new miniatures campaign to Kickstarter called Claustrophobia 1643. This is actually re-implementing a game called Claustrophobia, and it is only for 2 players, and it is one player is controlling a group of humans, while the other player has an army of creatures that's trying to defeat each other. The human is basically in a catacombs. So sort of think like that sort of feeling.
What happened in 1643? Am I missing like the significance of that date?
I don't know.
Okay, good. I was like,
when
World
was, like,
War
the
something
Black
important
Plague
happened and I don't know what it is.
I can look it up, Sarah, while I do this. So it is miniatures based, 2-player survival game, and it's Monolith does pretty good, pretty big Kickstarters, and this one seems like they're going to do pretty well, although it is just for 2 players, so
that might reduce
the
demand.
Yeah. It's a scenario based as well, so there are scenarios in the game. Anything jumping out in 1643?
I feel like I'm safe not knowing what that date is. The Gregorian calendar began that year. Yeah.
English Civil War.
Okay, I was like, there's something important that happened in the catacombs. I don't know.
Maybe our listeners can tell us what happened.
The Battle of Rocroi,
1643. Anyway, look for that coming to Kickstarter.
It does sound cool.
Beginning of November. Ryan, you got something else?
Yeah. Coming November 7th from Firelock Games is Oak and Iron.
Ooh, I've heard about this.
Yeah, it is a game set in the age of sail.
1643.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
So that age of piracy, imperial expansion, and fighting sail is what they say. It's a tactical naval combat game. Mm. So there's a lot of emphasis on tactics and theme, but the designer specifically points out how he spent a lot of time trying to make it quick and simple to pick up. So I'll be interested in seeing that, because a lot of tactics games are a lot of fun, but they get way too deep, so you never get to bring them to the table. It's a pet peeve of mine. So if it's quick and simple and tactics, that might be what I'm looking for. It's a 1/600th scale game. And it has
an actual sailboat?
Apparently. So 1/600th scale. It has some really nice minis of ships. There's sloops, brigantines, frigates, galleons.
Man of war.
And like two or three others that I can't pronounce because I didn't know that was a word. But it just, it looks really cool, and I'm interested in seeing how it all plays out. You resolve combat with some special dice that they've put together, and that's about all I had figured out about that one. But it looks cool. Oak and Iron, November 7th, Firelock Games. Sarah.
Coming November 6th, yet again, is Welcome to Dino World from Alley Cat Games. And this one is an interesting one. So this game actually won the best roll and write of Gen Cant 2017.
Nice.
So for those of you
who
don't...
Who is the judge of that?
Yeah, probably on Board Game Geek. So for those of you who don't know, a few years ago, those people who could not make it to Gen Con started their own little movement of Gen Cant. So if you've been on social media, you've probably seen this around. And I guess they ran a contest last year, and yeah, this one won. So this has been available on Board Game Geek as a print and play. And Alley Cat Games is now bringing it to Kickstarter in a bigger, more fleshed out roll and write game.
Yeah, yeah, they did a lot of development on it,
yes.
I think.
So instead of just a one version, they've got two separate modes of play. There's an easier version, and then there is a danger mode version. So in this game, you are there will be dice that are rolled for the round, and everyone will use the dice to build something for their Dino World exhibit. And then there will be visitors that come and view the exhibit, and you'll get points based on those. So it's a great roll and write. It's has some interesting decisions to make. There's a few different ways you can play it. You can have common goals that everybody is trying to go for, or you can have goals that just you and your neighbor are allowed to go for, and those goals, whoever gets them first gets the points, and the other person just is out of luck. So we've enjoyed, Will and I have played this a few times. We've enjoyed it.
My favorite part about the game is that when other players have AP and are taking forever to take their turn,
yeah,
they encourage you to doodle dinosaurs into your cages, which I think every game should do. Yep.
Perfect.
Awesome. Yeah, so this is Welcome to Dino World from Alley Cat Games. I think I mentioned designers James O'Connor and Nick Shaw and David Turksey.
Oh, wow. Cool.
So, and I believe Beth Sobel did the art on this one.
Wow. Yeah. Man, good stuff.
Yeah.
Is that it? I'm out.
Oh, that is it. That is all 13
Woo!
Games.
I mean, who would have thought November?
Yeah.
So right? Many games launching in November.
That's an interesting indicator of the whole industry, though, because like in previous years, we've been doing this long enough to know that like once you get into the holidays, Kickstarter, like, because everybody's buying Christmas presents and they know they're not going
to
get their Kickstarter games.
Like, people are just trying
to
get it in.
Right? Yeah. Get as many as you can on Kickstarter.
I'm telling you, the number of games I noticed that happened before November 15th compared to after November 15th are like a huge
dramatic difference. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
it'll
be interesting to see how they do, because there have been several games recently that have been close to funding,
yeah,
but didn't get like a whole bunch of traction, so they've actually canceled and are going to relaunch again next year.
I think spring is going to be big.
Of them have just pushed back too, right? Like there were a couple games that we knew about that were going to come out this week. Oh wait, just kidding. We're going to wait. Are they waiting till spring? Or are they waiting just like a month? Spring. Okay.
Yeah.
So spring's going to be insane.
Yep.
Start saving your money now.
Yeah. Get all that Christmas money that you know maybe have gotten as a gift instead of. Cash in some of those gift cards you got from family members who didn't know what to get you, and save it up for the spring if you haven't already spent it on Kickstarter.
Yep. All right.
Now, we do have one more thing to talk about with our Kickstarter mission, and that is the Kickstarter of the week.
Kickstarter of the week. All right, so.
I don't even know. There's 13 games.
I have one that I'm really interested in. Do you have one?
I need to relook at my list.
All right, we might need Facebook's help, but all right. I think let me see your list, Ryan. All right, let's all pick one in our mind and let's name it out loud, and then we'll vote on it. How's that sound? And then we'll get Facebook to help us.
Hold on, I need to look up something real quick. What does this game look like?
What's the last? Which
one are you looking up?
The awkward game. I just want to know. It sounds amazing. Does it also look amazing? Oh, it looks pretty amazing.
All right. So, Melissa, you have something in your mind for the Kickstarter of the week?
You know how I love picking favorites.
Okay, we'll not do Melissa first. All right, I'm going to pick one first?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm picking Atlantis Rising 2nd Edition for right now, although it is a 2nd Edition.
Yeah, that's kind of like, well, that's a 2nd Edition.
Extraordinary Adventure Pirates is pretty good. Dino World's pretty good. What else is jumping out at you?
Rallyman, again, that's a re-implementation.
I'm hearing good things about that one.
Yeah. Pipelines, it's a good Euro game.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
Will, what's jumping out at you?
I want this awkward game to win just for Ryan's
sake. But it's another re-implementation.
Yeah, it's just a new language. Does that count?
I mean, I feel like they knew that Americans needed more awkwardness. They brought it to us as
awkward
a gift.
Is chic now.
Like, awkward this is chic. That's a t-shirt. You need that t-shirt.
Awkward is chic.
Well, if you're on, like, the sites I go to.
Okay. So, Kickstarter of the week. Let's choose two or three, and we'll see what Facebook people. We've got some people on here.
Look at this photography. It's so nice. They get their own divider screens. I'm in on this one.
Really?
Yeah.
I am torn this week. So I feel like the last couple of weeks, there was one or two, and it came down to, you know, a couple of clear winners.
I think to me, that's like a reprint, and it's just bringing it over to the States. It's like, why should that be Kickstarter of the week? It's not the thing.
I think it's also hard because none of these have actually launched yet, so we don't know what their page is.
Mm.
So we could be like, the game looks awesome, but if their Kickstarter campaign flops, then it's like, oh, sorry. Right.
In weeks past, we've actually seen some of these page reviews.
We know that Forbidden Games does good Kickstarters. We know
this is true.
Alley Cat does really good stuff.
They do.
Of the games that I talked about, Dino World would be my favorite. Right.
I would buy Dino World. I'll just say that.
You would buy Dino World. That's a good indication.
That's a good...
We do not buy very many games at all.
Right, Dino World. I'm putting Dino World in here as one.
Yeah, and some of these games we've played and some of them we haven't. That's so right. All we're looking at is promotional.
And in truth, you're hearing this on the podcast a week out, so it's like actually when it goes live, the whole world can change between now and Monday when we actually go to back the game.
Please judge us kindly.
Yes.
And you can judge us however you want, but...
All right. So Dino World, Pipeline, aside from those three, are we putting anything above Dino World, Pipeline, or Extraordinary Adventure Pirates? You put an awkward guest in there? I'll put awkward guest on there. Awkward.
That's not the right.
You should see the art for Pipeline.
That's not it, but that one looked fun too.
It is that one right there.
Ooh, that's kind of pretty.
Look at that. Is that pretty cool looking?
It is Ian O'Toole.
It's Ian O'Toole. Does a great job.
Oh, wait, I have played this.
You have? I was at Origins.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
Like 2 or 3 years ago.
I didn't realize that that's what I was talking about, but that looks way better than the prototype.
I know.
We played the game and I was like, this is so ugly. Oh, no, this is cool looking. Typography.
What type of water pipe?
Oh, yeah, water. It's definitely like connected water pipes.
With water drops.
Yeah, you got water drops that you're storing over here in the different locations.
Yeah, I guess pirate. I guess water. All right.
Man. Oh, that was a pretty decent game, too. Now I'm torn more. Ugh.
We might have to not announce something this
time. Yeah, you're going to have to wait and see what we choose.
On Facebook.
But on Facebook, people...
We will...
Have we received nominations on the Facebook?
So now is your chance on a Facebook.
I don't think we can reach a conclusion tonight. We need your help.
No. So Dino World Pipeline... Are rising to the top, it seems like. But Extraordinary Adventure Pirates is on there. People are talking about that one. So, out of those two, or three, you're welcome to choose on Facebook. We will put that into our sifting of choosing one of those games.
We need to... Okay, so we still have two more things we got to cover tonight. One, we need to get Sarah and Katie's video posted because we've had that in the pipe for too long.
Oh, wow.
The way we decide which games, yes. Who gets to review which games,
okay.
Who gets to decide on who gets to win which games, we're going to post a video this week. It's got to be this week. Send it to me. I'll get it posted.
Okay.
And you guys will see the real behind the curtains how these decisions get made. Second, we need to go to Larry's Tantrum House timeout and see what his opinion is on one of the not so best games in the lineup.
It's the 60-second Tantrum House timeout.
Why would you even play this game?
Where we save you from playing the games that you wish you never played. Here's your host, Larry the Intern.
Today on the timeout, we're looking at Hypnos by Studio Joe Pye, a game that claims it will leave you hypnotized. And they're right, you'll be so bored you'll fall right asleep. The game is a disappointment because there's no hypnotizing. The creators promise hypnotism and the box design implies it, but yet no mind control. A fail. Imagine a deck builder with all the fun of Candyland and none of the complexity of games like Dominion. It's as basic a deck builder as you can get. The designers slapped on some mystic themes, add a score track, and called it a day. It also drags on. Players in Hypnos end up quickly reaching a point where they discard all their money cards and run through their hand over and over again until players get so bored they mindlessly jump out of a window to save themselves. Hypnos has potential, but until you can make people wash your car, do your taxes, and other chores for you, then I'm gonna pass. I give Hypnos 3 swinging pendulums out of 5. Hey, if you've got a game you want to hear on the timeout, let us know in the comments or on Facebook. See ya.
Larry, I cannot believe this. We think you were hypnotized.
What if he was hypnotized, right? Like, he didn't realize it, but he was?
I think he was. Yeah. I walked by and he had this blank stare.
And well, did you hear when that horn went off? He started clucking like a chicken?
What?
Sounds like an interesting premise for a game. I don't know. We'll have to check that one out sometime. So, I need to also answer a question.
Yes.
We got some suggestions last week on the what should Will dress up for as Halloween.
Yes. Yeah.
And I think the suggestion we got on the show was the best one.
Doctor Strange?
So I went ahead and did the Doctor Strange thing.
Very cool.
Yes.
Are you going to wear that again? Or
possibly. Maybe tomorrow.
Dude,
maybe like actual Halloween. This will have already aired after Halloween. But
I just want to say people need to go on Facebook.
Yeah.
Look at the picture
of
Will with the portal thing.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
The steel wool.
Will almost started our house on fire and himself.
I've done that before and it's fun.
Yeah, it is. Wait, starting your house on fire or the sling portal?
Yes.
Because I have done both of those as well, actually.
the slinging steel wool.
You did a good job. It was pretty
cool.
Looking.
The photos are not really good. We had to do it like 3 times, I think, to get it. Camera wouldn't focus. It was pretty cool, though. We had a Tantrum House Halloween party. Had a great turnout. Had a lot of fun. There are pictures of the costumes. I will tell you one dramatic story where I doubted my wife's abilities. And they came out in the end. So I had to make, it was like too late to buy an Eye of Agamotto.
Which time
is
like, stone?
Right. Which is one of the crucial elements.
We could have gotten like a $70 one on Amazon. But you know.
Overnighted the next day. So I decided to make one. I found a YouTube video of how to make your own. And this guy. Yeah. This guy used his own like clay.
And you remember working in clay.
Yes.
So I don't know what he used, but he like made it, sculpted it. Hardened it. It was perfect. It was really cool. I was like, we can totally do this. We're artists. We got the skills. Let's make it happen. So I was like, you make me the dough. I don't know what kind of dough I'm supposed to make. And I'll sculpt it. So okay, I sculpted. Go ahead.
So I just, you know, this is last minute, like
right,
the night before. So I just made my normal salt dough you know, ornament recipe, which isn't really what I wanted to do.
Apparently, that's what I was afraid of.
No, you cannot eat this. You will get sick and die if you eat salt, though, because it will throw off your, whatever, your levels of salt and
your chi. Yeah.
If you eat
getting too much salt in your system is really bad for you. Okay. So
we baked it in the oven, and like she has the oven set at, I don't know, whatever, and it's like starting to plump, and I'm freaking out. Like, it can't plump. I don't want like a plump cookie. I hand sculpted what is it called? What is the words on the edge? Hieroglyphics. I hand sculpted the hieroglyphics on the sides of this little tiny medallion. It's like rising and then lowering. And I'm like freaking out. Like we're trying to figure out, should we flip it over? It has a marble in the middle of it.
Did you put yeast in it?
No, but it's flour, so you
right,
know.
Right, just going to do some. And then the bottom side, like, wouldn't cook, and we're, like, switching it to broil and switching it to...
I didn't broil it. I turned on my convection.
The convection oven. Anyway, it took forever. Like, I am super impatient. It's, like, been in the oven for 2 hours.
Out all day. So like, just to let you know, our guests at our party did not get all the food that they were supposed to get because his Eye of Agamotto was baking in the oven literally 12 hours.
It was forever, but it was worth it. It turned out fantastic. It looked really good.
You put like a light source in there.
I took one of those candle, what are those things called?
Tea lights?
Like a tea light, yeah, an LED tea light and taped it to the back. Which I almost pushed it through, freaking out. Turned out really good. I was really excited, and it turned out great. Good job baking the perfect. I made like the little wing things that he has on his
lapel
cape thing as well. And then I made a sling ring, which didn't fit my hand, but looked really cool. So lots of really fun Halloween craziness, good times. Check out the website. There is some pictures on there. And then I think we have like one or two more things we need to cover in the episode real quick. Yep. Kevin, tell us about our giveaway.
MacGyver, the escape room game from Pressman, our show sponsor, has given this to us to give away. And people can go on our website, tantrumhouse.com, and we have a form for all our giveaways. So you just go to tantrumhouse.com. On the right-hand side, it says... sign up to be entered
in our contest or something like that.
Yeah, to be entered in the contest. And you will be automatically entered. In a couple of weeks, we will pull a name from that list. So maybe you will win the MacGyver board game.
And while you're on the website, click on Tantrum Con in the top corner.
Yes.
Or go to tantrumcon.com to learn more about our event coming in February on President's Day weekend, February 15th through the 17th. We also just posted, I think there's a link at the very bottom, if you scroll to the bottom of the Tantrum Con page, for our volunteers requirements and application. And if you are interested in volunteering for the event, we're still looking for GMs. We're looking for a couple of street team members who are willing to go to their friendly local game store and pass out some posters and flyers. And I think there's a couple other positions in there too, maybe like running the library and some stuff like that. If you're interested in helping us out, we would love to know more about you and how you can help us out. And then we would help you out with a free badge to the event.
Or discounted, at least.
Yeah, depending on the number of hours you put in. So all the details are on that PDF that you can download.
TantrumCon.com.
That's correct. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Thank you for thinking about coming to TantrumCon. And we'll see y'all next time around. Bye!
Thanks for listening to the Tantrum House Board Game Podcast. If you liked any part of this at all, find and follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TantrumHouse.com. Like us, share us, email us, call us, or send us a postcard. Thank you!
Holmes, Holmes.
What is it, Watson?
I think we might have a new case. How can we help, Miss...
It's Mrs. Fields, and I need you to settle a dispute. We have a small home with room for one table. My husband wants a fancy gaming table, but I believe a dining table is more important. I'm sure you agree with me, Mr. Holmes.
What if I told you I could satisfy both your wishes?
I'd say that'd be astounding, Holmes.
The answer is the Holmes, or perhaps the Watson, depending on the size of your room.
You're not making any sense, old chap.
Those are the names of an ingenious product from Game Toppers LLC. The Toppers are a portable solution that turns your current table into a high-end gaming table at a fraction of the cost.
Do you mean to say that the topper can be put on and taken off the table with ease?
Absolutely.
Thank you, Mr. Holmes. You truly are as amazing as people say. I will take a look at Game Toppers LLC right away.